Morning hours. Now, senators are going over a series of amendments to the bill. One of the two Republicans opposed to the president's bill, North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, has announced that he will not be seeking re-election. U.S.-Canada trade talks will resume now that the Canadians have shelved the proposed tax on big U.S. tech firms. On Wall Street, the Dow up 153. More details, srnnews.com.
Don't miss the Independence Day celebration at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 6th, beginning at 10 a.m. You'll hear a great message from the Word of God, along with the Redemption Call Trio and Concert. Barbecue will be served after the services for a small donation. The Independence Day celebration at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, oftentimes I forget to do so. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Have you ever thought about the question, why did God create mankind? What is the role of man in America today, in society today? Why did God create us as fathers, as husbands, and the head of the home, head of the church? We're talking about that today with Brother William Dodge. Brother Dodge is the head or director of a ministry called Man in the Mirror. Brother Bill, thank you again for being with us. And let me remind our listeners that phone number is 904-831-0917. If you'd like to ask a question, be delighted to entertain your question, comment, and discussion on the issue today. Brother Bill, one of the questions that came to me as we're just before the news break, and I think it might resolve a question in the hearts of many that's listening. What are you doing in mentoring men in a local New Testament church is not a denominational dogma. It is a biblical truth. Speak to that, because I've found too many times in my background, still less than 100 years, a person's always concerned, are they going to come in and try to preach or teach or in some way their particular doctrine or their particular denomination? That's not the case, as I understand it. Speak to that.
Well, we work primarily with evangelical churches. I think there's like 244 denominations in the United States, which is quite a bit.
Yes.
Worldwide, I think somebody looked it up recently, there were 44,000 denominations. Kind of scary.
It is scary.
So what Man in the Mirror does is we come in. We're not there to preach doctrine to you. What we're there to do is help your men's leader and your pastor come up with a discipleship pathway for all of the men. And we do that by, first of all, look, what's your mindset? Are you event-driven? In other words, the way that you handle your men in your church, do you figure that a men's breakfast, a retreat once a year, and a couple other events are going to solve the van problem? Does your leader that you currently have, your men's leader you currently have, what does he like to do, and is that primarily what he has the men do? Well, what we do is we come in, like I was saying earlier, take a look at who your men are. Find out what your men want, and then we teach you how to give them what they need from your perspective for your church. We teach your men's leader, you must be vision-driven. Well, what vision? We want the pastor's vision.
Amen.
To be part of the men's vision. So we're not there to subvert anything that the pastor's doing.
Amen.
We're there to come alongside the pastor and be a guide.
That was my understanding. I want our listeners to hear that.
Yeah.
In fact, in the little book of Amos, says, how can we walk together lest we be agreed?
Right.
So it's coming back to an agreement on what does the Word of God say? What is the role of men? And how do we strengthen that role in our local New Testament church? I'll be honest with you, Brother Bill, and for our listeners today, I believe the fault and the failure and the falling down of our churches today is very, very, very much on the shoulders of our men. Our nation is crumbling today, and it's on the shoulders of men. Our homes are falling apart today, and it's on the shoulders of men. It's the man that God has chosen, as I've said so many times, the head of the home, the head of government, the head of the church, that God has chosen to be the responsible party. So what does the Bible tell us about the state or the condition of man?
Well, I look at back in 2020 when they did Promise Keepers on a simulcast because of the pandemic. Steve Berger, who was a pastor in Alabama, addressed sin among men in the church. And what he referred to was Nineveh. He didn't really talk about Jonah's part. He just talked about the fact that after 3 days, the people of Nineveh knew that they were sinning against God. Unless they repented, that Nineveh was going to be destroyed. So they began to repent. And then the king heard about it, and what did the king do? The king said, hey, I'll put on sackcloth and ashes, and just maybe if we do this, God will relent. Well, God did relent. And then what Steve went on to do was tell the men, have we ever stopped to consider that we might be offending God? Have the men of the church ever stopped to think we might be offending the Word of God or be offending God? And if you change a man, you change a marriage. If you change a marriage, you change the family. And if you change the family, you change the church. And guess what? If you change the church, you might just change the country.
Amen. That's a good analogy. I like that. That's a good analogy. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking with Brother William Dodge today. He is the director for Man in the Mirror. Brother Bill, God created man to become fathers and to train up our children in the way that the Lord would have us to go. And God created man to be compassionate and understanding in our homes. God created man to be accountable to God. And I think that summarizes almost what you just said. I think that we have failed as a church, as Christians, as homes, as fathers, to recognize that we are accountable to God. We're accountable to God for our homes. This is the reason 2 Chronicles 7:14, we need to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land.
Yes.
And I could just summarize that, to heal our government, to heal our land, to heal our homes, to heal our churches. And our homes, churches, and our nation needs healing. And only God can do the healing. But I believe we need to get back to fundamental basics of what is the church for? What are we to do as Christians? How do we respond to societal issues? And Brother Bill, you and I were talking about it briefly before the broadcast today. So many Christians, so many pastors, so many Christian leaders today believe that somehow, some way, we should have hands off when it comes to society in general. We need to have hands off and say nothing about the direction that the political leadership is taking us. I used for an example very recently, and I wasn't there, believe me, but back in the 1700s, pastors would preach a scathing message on Sunday, bringing the charges against the mayor or the city council for what they were doing that was antithetical to the scripture. They didn't have online broadcast then, but they would put that on the printing press and print out a gigantic handbill and put it on the city, the county, or the little town square marquee so that everybody could see what the pastor said about the sin and the disgrace that that leader's bringing us as a nation or as a city. We've stopped doing that. We have stopped holding accountable men that lead our nation. We've stopped holding accountable men that lead our churches. We've stopped holding accountable men that should be leading the homes. And it's because we've gotten, in my opinion, because we've gotten away from the rudimentary, fundamental elementals of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say, and how should we respond to it? Brother Bill, tell us the strategy of man in the mirror that enables men to grow in the Lord. What is the strategy? What do you do?
Well, one of the things that we do is we hold a seminar, and we've invited many other churches to come in for a seminar. It's called No Man Left Behind. And we show them what the issues are in the church, or in the churches today, that prevent discipleship from truly happening. What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore make disciples." Amen. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I've commanded you."
Right.
"And lo, I'm with you to the end." We're not teaching our men what Jesus has commanded. So what we do is we help the leader set up ways to reach the men. For example, we have the Spiritual Fathers program. We were talking about mentors. I don't know when secular humanism crept into the church, but it crept in a long time ago. Secular humanism says God exists for the happiness of man. Whereas we know man, from what we're talking about here today, man exists for the glory of God.
Amen.
So how do we teach men in the church when we have a soft gospel, their role? We don't even teach repentance.
That's
in
right.
The church today.
That's right.
We say, simply say a prayer. And I can't find where it said that in the scriptures. But we say a prayer and you're okay, but just keep doing what you want to do. We have a program called Spiritual Fathers Within, which is one of the arms of our No Man Left Behind. And using Spiritual Fathers, we try to get men who are over 40, which is like pulling teeth anymore today,
yeah,
to come alongside younger men and be a spiritual mentor to them, be a spiritual father to them.
Amen.
And show them how they should go. Be there for them. Meet with them several times a month. Be there for calls. Be there for the 2 o'clock call in the morning when they're in trouble. And that's not happening. So we'll show the church how to do that. And we'll get them trained on how to mentor. We have a thing called the Way Forward. It's like the master's course in mentoring. And then we have a short course, which is called the First Step, which takes about 3 to 6 weeks ago to prepare men to come alongside and mentor younger men.
Amen. Before we take our next caller, let me respond to that, Brother Bill. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It's the left page, left column, top verse in my Bible. The Apostle Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's a good mentorship,
yes,
illustration there. And the word follow, we get our word mimic. Paul says, "Mimic my life as I mimic the life of Christ." And I think that is the best nutshell example of mentorship that we're talking about today.
Right.
It can be found in the scripture. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yeah, Brother Youngblood, in a statement you made a while ago, I want for clarification for those that are listening. Christ is the head of the church. A man should be the under-shepherd, not a woman, but a man. So Christ is the head of the church. I know you said the head of the church. And a lot of men do think they are the head of the church, and they leave Christ out, and that's the problem today.
You're exactly right. So let me go back and put a little parenthetical footnote to my broad statement. To narrow that statement down, God created the home, he created government, he created the church, and he created man to be the head of each of those entities as God created it. But we recognize that Jesus Christ is the ultimate head of the church, and the pastor is the under-shepherd of the church, but the pastor is to preach and teach the Word of God as is found in the Scripture, and not, how can I say, the pastor is not to preach and teach cotton candy theology. Goosebump Theology, or Kitchen Theology, which all put it in a jar and shake it up together, is Voodoo Theology. We need to simply preach and teach the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, what the Word of God says, and recognizing that Jesus Christ is the ultimate authority. He is the Supreme Court Justice of all of the universe, and we need to please Him and please Him first and foremost. I believe that's a good nutshell of the ecclesiological thought in relationship to the church, but you're exactly right. But what we've done, if I can put a little footnote on that for you, Brother Davis, what we've done in our church is we have simply brought in the plans, the preparation, the protocol of the world, and we've become a woke culture that's brought into the church. In fact, I'll just do this. Goes so far, a number of years ago, a one that was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. We're not part of that, but I can, and I'm not trying to throw rocks, but he was talking about the LGBTQI+ sodomite group agenda, and he said we need to bring them into the church, love them, let them participate, and bring them into the work of the church. No, that is not so. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of the body of believers, not the woke culture that we're bringing into the church. That's watering down the gospel, and I believe, if I could be so bold to say, that's part and parcel of the destruction of the foundation of our churches today. As Brother Bill was saying just a moment ago, we have allowed the humanistic mindset to come in and take precedence over the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in part of that, in doing that, partly we have forgotten the responsibility of the role of the man in the New Testament church. You're right. But thank
right,
you so much.
Dale Carnegie has no place in the church.
That's right. I'm in agreement with that completely, brother. Thank you so much for your comments, for your footnote on that, and God bless you today. Brother Bill, explain man in the mirror, how can strengthen be the strengthening tool? You've touched on this, but how can man in the mirror be what I call the strengthening tool for the local New Testament church to be carried out? And secondly, that do you see man in the mirror as a good tool for the church with the pastors? We've touched all around that, but let's zero in on, let's say that a church or a Christian leader is listening today, and they're interested, they're concerned. What is the protocol? What do you do? And what can they expect to be done? What needs to be set up? And how do they do that? I know that's a juxtaposition of questions, but respond to that if you can.
Well, I give you a good example. When I call on a church or when a pastor calls me to come over and sit down with him, I'm a listener. I want to find out where he is. What's his vision for the church? What's his vision for men? I sat with a pastor not too long ago, and I asked him, how many men are in your church? He didn't know. How many men are part of your men's ministry? He didn't know. I said, what's the vision for men? He didn't know. So one of the things we do is we listen, and then we help guide them to this place where they recognize. For example, when I ask them, how many men are in your church? If you were to tell me 100, and I'll say, how many men are in your men's ministry? They'll say 25. And I'll look at them and say, no, all of them. So what we do is we help the pastor come to a place where we look at what is he doing right, what's not working, what is working, and we help him build off of that. We'll help him add to the things that will bring more of the men in his congregation in to be discipled. Discipleship is what changes everything. We're not out trying to do behavior modification. We're trying to see the Holy Spirit do heart transformation.
Amen. That's well summarized. I like that. not modification, but heart transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Brother William Dodge. He is the director for Man in the Mirror, and we're talking about how Man in the Mirror can be used as a ministry tool to assist the local New Testament church in mentoring men, discipling men. Let me go back at the risk of redundancy and say, God created man, to be, as we're made in His image, to be the voice, the mouth, the individual in society that's going to train our children, direct them in the gospel, and allow them to be free to serve the Lord and bring in their families then in the future to honor God, to please God, and to serve Him. Brother Bill, tell us how an area director earns his income.
Well, we're self-funded. So I have to raise my own funding, just like any missionary would, to be able to even do my job. So I thank the Lord that he does fund me and keeps me fully funded. But our services are provided to the church for no cost. So I come into a church, doesn't cost them a thing. And if they want to buy materials, that there's a cost to that. But we're primarily about process. We're primarily about strategy. How do you reach all your men? How do you provide that discipleship pathway?
Brother Bill, you probably heard the statement or the calculation. Somebody said a number of years ago, and I believe it to be true, you could take two people, if those two would reach out and reach two more, and then the four reach four more, that we could take the process of multiplication and in 24 hours reach the world with the gospel. What say you?
Well, what does a disciple do? A disciple is supposed to make disciples who make disciples. We're supposed to reproduce ourselves. Amen. Just like we were saying, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
We should be able to take a young man, an old, whoever comes to the Lord, disciple them and teach them how to go out and make another disciple. Who can make another disciple? Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught others. And here we are in the United States, and we heard the gospel and were able to respond to it years later.
Let me just digress from that a moment. We touched on it a little in our pre-broadcast conversation. Other nations at this moment are finding it beneficial to send evangelists, witnesses into America. Why is that so? What's bringing about the decline in America?
Well, the fastest rising segment of churchdom or religion is a group called the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S. In other words, when they take a survey and they're asked to check whether they're Catholic, Protestant, whatever, they're checking nun. And that's the fastest growing segment of our society right now. But we can praise God on our campuses today. The Gen Zers are coming to the Lord right and left. I was working with a young man a couple of weeks ago who was with CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ. He's at the University of Georgia. And they've actually been putting tarps in the back of pickup trucks and filling with water. So once they preach the gospel, they can baptize those who come to Christ. And I went to the University of Alabama, and lo and behold, my adversary Auburn just recently had Auburn Ignites, and Hugh Freeze, one of their coaches, in the dark of night, was out baptizing several hundred people in a pond. So we have a movement on our college campuses today. But the question is the church today prepared to accept those young men and disciple them? Do we have older men who are ready to come alongside these younger men and walk them in the same relationship that Paul had with Timothy and be a spiritual father to him? He called him a son. And both Luke and, both Timothy's, he called him a son.
Absolutely. Let me do a little takeoff question from that. I've been intrigued by, interested in, and questioning the mega number of baptisms across America. Now, my question is, and you may or may not know any statistical data on that, if a person says yes to Jesus, he's baptized, is there enough follow-up in those, quote, multiple baptism programs to get those people into a local New Testament church to be properly discipled in the Word? It's one thing to say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
But it's another thing, if it's real, it's going to grow. That person's going to want to be under the Word, want to be in a New Testament Christian church, want to be mentored, want to be discipled, want to be fed the milk of the Word and then the meat of the Word. What are you seeing in that category?
Well, I know I've observed, I happened to be at one of the beach baptisms recently where I think there were like 1,600 baptized. And all I can do is observe the fruit. We're told we will know a Christian by their fruit.
That's right.
And if I see somebody who's baptized, but yet I see no fruit afterwards, then you have to wonder, did that person really believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, before they were baptized? Or did they just know about him up here and want to go through the ceremony? So I think we must do a better job in explaining the gospel to people.
Yes.
We can't give a watered-down gospel anymore.
Yes.
We can't just say, raise your hand and you're okay. Mm-hmm. Just say this prayer and you're in. We have to truly present the gospel. I've been teaching Acts in a Sunday school class, and I look at Peter's gospel. What was Peter's gospel? It was from the Old Testament.
That's right.
He showed them who Israel was, the history of Israel. He showed them David, out of the line of David, and then he showed them how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. And I've always thought about, I met Chuck Yeager one time, and I used to go fishing with him on occasion. Well, the more I learned about him, the more I wanted to tell people about this famous person I knew.
Amen.
Well, it should be the same with us, with Jesus Christ. We should want to tell them,
amen,
about the creator of the universe, the king of the universe. And that should be what we see in the fruit of those who are saved and baptized. But today we don't see that.
That's
We don't see men progressing. We don't see men teaching their children the way they should go. We don't see husbands laying down their life for their wives as Christ did for the church.
Yes.
And we've got to change that. And discipleship is the only way it'll ever change.
Amen. I'm in full agreement with that. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Brother Bill, tell our listeners how an individual can become an area director or a director for Man in the Mirror.
Well, I have a great big territory up here in Northeast Florida. As a matter of fact, I've gone all the way over to Inverness, and I've been over to Tallahassee, so that's a pretty good area. So I'd love to have another man come alongside me. Again, we're self-funded. You do have to raise your own funding. But you can get a hold of me at 904-566-8987. Again, my phone number is 904-566-8987. Or you can contact Man in the Mirror at maninthemirror.org, and there is a place on our website for you to inquire about being an area director. And I'll tell you, I've never been more fulfilled in my life than I have been in the last 9 years of working with pastors and with men.
Amen.
And seeing men's lives transformed.
Amen. One of the questions that our listeners, based on what you just said, a question that I would think that would be in their heart, what are the qualifications they need to have to meet the need to be one?
Well, let's see. What did Moses do? He killed somebody, yet he was called by God. David committed adultery and then sent her husband to the front lines to be killed, but yet he repented. Paul was killing Christians and persecuting the church. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're called to mentor to men, you're qualified.
Amen. If you're saved, love the Lord,
yes,
and want to study the Word and mentor others to know the Word, I would simply summarize that as the basic,
exactly,
fundamental, elemental need for that individual.
Yes.
So I'm thankful. Brother Bill, we're delighted that you joined us today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Dodge. He is the director for Man in the Mirror. Give that telephone contact once again.
Again, it's 904-566-8987.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021.